Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. It's 3 minutes past four. We've just come off air, Andy, and Maxine for Paul today. What a show we had today. Did you have a nice time, Andy?
I had a very good time.
Great. What are we going to put in this podcast?
Well, we're going to put our wafflings in. You had some excellent vignettes.
I did my best, yeah.
The show today. I was impressed.
Oh, thanks.
And we had a couple of studio, well, a few studio guests, but I very much enjoyed chatting to Vaz Blackwood and Matt
Matt LePisco. Matt LeBlanc.
What was his name?
His name was Matt
Lipinskas.
Lipinskas.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is
the show with Matt LeBlanc? The episodes didn't have a Lipinskas in it as one of the characters. That's a very complicated and pointless thing to say. But anyway, that chat and Nuneaton Borough.
Yeah. Oh yes, we had the manager owner. And chairman of Nuneaton, Gino Ginelli, who did the... I hope neither Jimmy or Matt Lipinskas listen to this this intro. I'll be very disappointed with
they
this.
Will. And after you've heard all that, we're going to do a special podcast-only version of Don't Ask Me.
Yes, we are, from the 3rd of October. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Max. I'm a bit Monday-ish today. There was that intro. I made a few slip-ups.
There were a couple. Do you want to try the first paragraph again?
No, I don't.
No, we can edit it in the podcast, can't we? Well, are you feeling buzzing? Are you up for this?
No, I'm fine.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely
great,
fine.
Great.
I must say, I was impressed with you on Saturday morning because I was listening to the show and I'd spoken to you Thursday night our time in Australia, Friday morning you were, and then there you were, Saturday morning, back on TalkSport. I couldn't believe it.
I was, and I felt like a modern-day hero. And I didn't feel the listeners gave me quite enough praise. If you'd like to praise me for going to work when I was scheduled to go to work for 3 hours of talking nonsense, 8:10:89.
No, but if you've ever done a long-distance flight with jet lag involved, you do feel very otherworldly.
I think
the last thing you'd want to be doing is broadcasting, really.
Well, actually, I think it's...
Did it help?
I think it did help, yeah. I was slightly wired.
Yeah,
I was
you quite, and Charlie seemed on good form.
I was quite liberated, yeah.
Oh, well,
so maybe it's a good plan. After every show I do, I should get on an aeroplane for the next 18 hours and then just come back in.
It might help me. You and then you played football in the afternoon.
I did. Goalless draw at home to Actonians. It was a terrible game for the neutral, I'll be honest.
Fortunately,
there were no neutrals there in attendance, so totally fine.
I quite enjoyed English, so we're going to have a longer, in-depth chat with Motti about it. But I lightly ladsed it. You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. So what time did you sit down to watch?
It's only on about a 20-minute delay.
Okay.
But the thing is, you can't look at your phone at all then. And you do see more of the game. It's actually quite good.
Because you're not just hovering over Twitter trying to think of something funny to say.
No.
That's what I find during a game. If I've got social media up, I suddenly lose interest in the game and I'm trying to think of something hilarious.
And what's the point?
There is no point.
There's no point, is there? I mean, you don't get paid for being funny on Twitter. I can't see the point of it, really.
I don't get paid to be funny anywhere, Andy, strictly.
Although I do enjoy Jake Humphrey's videos on Twitter. They're tremendous, the one you showed me this morning. They really are excellent. I should make that a regular part of my entertainment now.
It wasn't a four-nil.
I now know how to get a job in the media, so I'm quite happy about the whole thing, really. Tremendous. Glenn,
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I know you're not. Glenn Hoddle. Yeah. He was on for me. So I always enjoy Glenn and his analysis. I personally think he's the best at it. But he does mangle those names though. Murich became Murish. Although at one point, I'm sure I had to play this back quite a few times on my telly to hear it, but I'm sure he called Clive Tilsley, Brian.
I don't know if that's Brian is go-to. Is it Brian's not for, you know, well, it's obviously not for me, Clive, but, you know, yeah. Brian is a go-to commentator name.
He was talking
it?
About the fact that Clive had said that Rashford had never scored from the bench.
Okay.
And then he said, he's now scored from the bench, Brian. I was thinking, did he just say Brian?
He worked with Brian Moore?
And I went back and I thought, well, it's either he worked with Brian Moore.
Yeah.
It's a sort of like generic commentator, Brian.
Yeah.
Or Clive's nickname is named after the Coronation Street star, the former married to Gail Tilsley. He's not quite spelt the same, but Brian Tilsley.
Oh, maybe. I mean, really.
I thought that was it. Maybe if, that's Clive's nickname.
If you are making a point as a generic summariser, you can only go with Clive, Brian or Jeff, can't you? They're the three you got. Not, that is not for me, Clive. Oh, I can't believe that, Jeff, etc.
Yes.
Yeah, but actually the most interesting part of the ITV coverage was, and Clive tweeted this out, someone else did as well, was they then erected a big screen, like a projector, to watch Ian Wright on I'm a Celebrity.
What, in and Kosovo?
So they were in Kosovo, sitting down in a room. Lee Dixon had a bottle of lager and he was sat next to Glenn Hoddle.
Really?
And Clive was there filming it on his phone. And the really interesting thing was Roy Keane really let his guard slip, because Roy Keane, he didn't sit down, he was standing there, but he was definitely smirking. So, you know, the hard man image of Keane has gone, because
oh, really?
He was watching Ian Wright struggle on, I believe was sort of a quite high, it looked like some sort of very high diving board platform. I didn't watch I'm a Celebrity yesterday.
Yeah, it suffers from vertigo. I, personally, I know people love it, but it's not for me.
It's not for me, Jeff.
No, I can't
is it?
Bother with it. But apparently, no live insects will be eaten this year. They're getting rid of that section of the show.
Are they using taxidermied insects? No. What are they doing?
I thought we need vegan insects made from plant-based materials.
I think that's probably a good thing, isn't it?
I've got more insect news.
Have you got a sort? I've got more insect news.
Have you?
Here we go. Yeah, I've got one about a really fast ant.
Really?
Yeah. The desert-dwelling ant has been confirmed as one of the fastest animals on the planet. Proportionate to its size, Saharan silver ants emerge from their nests for only a few minutes around midday, when the creatures that predate...
Is the headline Usain Ant?
It's
or
not
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt is better, isn't it? Yeah. Linford Christant. They have two defences against the blistering sun's rays. They cover 85.5 centimetres a minute, a record for any ant. There are moments when they fly through the air with all six of their legs off the ground at once. In other words, they gallop. The galloping
Saharan
ant.
That's a bit like a horse,
ant.
Isn't it? Mm.
You could get really, really tiny jockeys.
Well, I know a man who would know all about that and be fascinated by it. It'd be Professor Jack Longino.
Yes, good afternoon, Jack Longino.
63. I don't know why you need to know that. He's an ant expert who scoured the world for new species, but found one in his back garden. I think it's highly suspicious myself. Surely. It's a bit of a coincidence.
What did he say? Did he say, I went off to Pizza Express and then I came back. I came out and there I was. There was a non-sweating ant in my back garden.
Very topical. He spotted four unfamiliar ants behind his home.
Where
in
does
Salt
he
Lake
live?
City, Salt Lake City,
okay.
Utah.
Right.
US. Thanks for very helpful. I didn't know it was in Bournemouth. Can add them to his list. He suspects the species have lived underground for 150 years, but the ants came to the surface due to watering by farmers. Well, they never watered before. The whole thing sounds incredibly suspicious to me.
I smell a rat.
Or an ant.
I've got some ant news. I've got some rat news, rather.
Not more ant news.
Alan Dwells, Spence in Wolves. Thank you so much.
For goodness sake.
How about Anto Bolden from Greg in Southend? You're good at this. How long can we do this for?
Anto Bolden is quite clever, actually. Yeah.
Come on, then. Your insect-based runners. We'll go middle distance as well. Insect-based, 8:10:89. Do that for half an hour.
I thought Kosovo had some very interesting named players. They seem to have a player called Who Are You? It's a very strange name. Bo Shearer, who I thought should definitely be called Alan, if I was his
I think
parents,
so. I mean, it was that they obviously, you know, it's an emotional time for the Kosovans, wasn't it? But it was, and Barry mentioned said this yesterday. You know, it was a way of, you know, how to stop you know that problem when fans, some England fans, go to occupy the town square and put up St George's crosses. Well, they can't go there and do that if the St George's crosses have already been put up.
That's actually a good idea.
So yeah, it was a sort of slightly, it was a bizarre.
I quite like the way Kosovo play. I think they're a team that's going to get better. They're very well coached, brilliant in transition, not great at finishing, possibly not great at defending, but some really in between that, some really good play considering how new they are. You know, I reckon they're going to improve. I've enjoyed watching them in both games, actually.
Yes, yeah, and they're in the playoffs, aren't they? I would love them to get through, and I'm sure
Andy Bassel will. It's better watching Kosovo than it is either of the islands. I know they're both very bold and very gutsy, and they do as well as they can, but I've worked it out now. You sit down to watch an island game, and you think, well, this will be good.
Adam and Colin,
it's always a bit, you know, it's always the same sort of game.
There's never been a good, hasn't been a good Republic of Ireland game for about since Jack Charlton, has Adam in Coventry, Chris Antkabusi.
And that's terrible.
Very, no, I think it's very, very good. Yeah,
you mustn't read them all out.
Is that the rule?
That's the rule.
Just between there's a
selective
there's
editing,
an amnesty for the next 20 minutes. I will read absolutely everything. Right, you are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs. Max in for Paul today. Annie alongside
Ali McCoystles.
He can do any bad pun, McCoystles, that loses his tiny mind, doesn't he? Exactly. Good afternoon, Ali. Always, he was listening to the overnight show when I was doing that from Australia.
Oh really?
Ali McCoystles, constantly listening.
I would have listened if I'd been awake.
I thought there was going to be, you know, when you mentioned there was, you know, I actually said we'd have the Andy Jacobs prostate minute.
Ready? I know, but I don't know what happened. I forgot to turn the radio.
Did you sleep all the way through every night that week?
No, I certainly didn't.
Anyway, so Banty and Co, Stephen Lee, very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, you are listening to Hawksby. Perhaps some discipline in this studio, please. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max in for Paul today. Andy in until 4. Joining us in the studio now, actors Matt Lipinskis is a Man United fan and Vass Blackwood Arsenal fan to talk about their new film Red Devil. But Vass, you bowed at the feet of Andy Jacobs.
Yeah, he's a legend. Andy Jacobs, man, he's a legend. I'll tell you something, right?
Yeah.
He picks up my day. He's just so funny. He's just bang on. Bang on. And also, I'm here on behalf of the Arsenal fans.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay,
yeah, they love me,
best give it to him. No. Dennis says to say hello.
Okay, good.
So let's start with, before, I mean, we could spend 3 hours trying to dissect what's wrong with Man United and Arsenal. But start with the film, Red Devil, which is nothing to do with Manchester United.
Nothing to do with Man United. It's premieres tonight, so we're going to be in Leicester Square tonight for the premiere.
Nice.
It's directed by Savas Michaels, who's an upcoming amazing director. He wrote it, he produced it, and it's a fabulous film. It's sort of like anti-PC. It's just everything. It's different. It's sort of like regenerating the sort of like gangster sort of like Brit flicks. I mean, there's been some reviews saying it touches on sort of like Scorsese, a bit of like, you know, Lock, Stock as well, with Guy Ritchie sort of directing. So it's it was great, and it was a pleasure to be on set, and I look forward to seeing it.
Give us an idea of what is
Red Devil is a kind of crack like substance, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's basically it's a drug. So it's set more in the future where sort of like your other drugs have become more legalized, and everyone's looking for that new high, that new sort of like addiction, and it's Red Devil, and it follows sort of a couple of vigilantes called Ella and Oscar who try to rid the streets of it. Someone called Riley who's addicted to it, who's played by Jamie Crewe, and then there's some other different characters. I play Gabriel alongside Ian Reddington, who plays Hugo. And it's a very interesting, very sort of character, colourful characters. I think it's going to be a real hit.
Vass, who do you play?
I play Father Barry. I'm a biblical man in it.
Yeah, okay. Obviously.
Very deep, Father Barry.
Yeah. Very noble.
Very noble, no, very noble gentleman is Father Barry.
Do you have a bad side? Well, or are you all good in this?
No, Father Barry used to be a gangster.
Right.
So I'm a gangster pastor. Present pastor, past gangster.
Oh, I see. You've been there.
That's right. I've done it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Business card.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a business card for that as well. Printed a few up. And the lead actress, her character, what she was like, basically, I looked after her when she was younger, mm-hmm. as it were.
Oh, okay. And then in that way.
Yeah, in a fatherly way.
Okay, right.
As a priest, yeah. And I know of her. There was like she was an orphanage because she's an orphan. So I know of her along those lines. And now all of a sudden she's gone on this path of like destruction. And because I'm old school, a bit of a gangster myself, I try and preach the ways of the ways of the righteous and do things. So I shot during the night. It was a night shoot for me. I'll never forget it. You know, they had to pay me more money because I don't like doing night work.
Overtime.
I was going to say, is it quite?
Yeah, I think we
tend to underestimate how hard actors, or there are things within acting that are sort of annoying, like you have to get fit, or you have to, you know, eat buckets, or you have to work all hours of the day, you know.
Well, no, acting's the most easiest job on the planet. Right? What's the matter with you?
That's what I think.
Without doing real work,
it's a strong one, because as well, like, you've got to, I think, for casting wise, for sort of my casting, like, I've got to stay fit, got to stay healthy, you know, got to stay on the ball type of thing. When we were filming this, it was very much like, you know, we'd start at around sort of 9 o'clock at night, go all the way through to 5 in the morning. I'd drive home, the missus would get up, I'd say, see you later, babe, I'm going to bed, and we didn't see each other for a couple of weeks. So
that's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good time. So
good for
you've done a lot of telling, Matt. I mean,
started straight out of drama school, straight onto EastEnders for like 2 years, and you know, and what I love about acting is working. I didn't get to work with Vass because obviously, you know, when you shoot these films, you're in the same sort of like movie together, but sometimes you don't actually get to work together. So it was I was looking forward to, but obviously our characters didn't come across each other. So
I try to get you in the scene,
yeah.
But Sav weren't having it. I said, you've got to get Matt in there, man, because you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but
so
he wasn't having it.
I've enjoyed it, and you know, you get to work with amazing people. And what I always find about doing new projects is you get to learn so much. I always try and learn. I think when you stop learning, you stop enjoying it. There's no point doing it anymore. And I still love it. I still enjoy it. And I still learn. So that's what I love about it.
But there's definitely a lot of hanging about. Because I was walking through the West End on Friday night, and in Russell Square it was actually, and they were filming for the Crown.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
But I mean, it was one scene and they had the lights on this hand. It was obviously them just leaving this house, but there were like four big vans. There was a food area. There was something. I mean, it's massive, isn't it?
Massive production, you know.
You're allowed to stop and get some food. Did you do that?
Well, I don't pretend to be in the film.
Pretend to be in the film.
Say, hello, dilly dilly.
Yeah. In the crowd.
If anyone says anything to you, just chin them. Stay there and eat your food, boy. Yeah, man, that's what you do. That's what they do. They're good food out to anyone, they will.
Yeah, it's good though, but there is a lot of waiting around. You know, you do it. There is a lot of like you sort of, you know, twiddling your thumbs here. But that's the time where you can sort of like kick back and sort of, you know, really just get in your zone and take your time to get into character and that type of thing. Really,
or you can say to the second AD, third AD, or second AD, say, "Oi, look, what's going on here?"
Nearly.
I wouldn't say that, but I pull them up and I say, "Look, listen here, son. I've got things to do and places to go. Don't worry about anything else. I'm getting papers. Just get me on that set.
Yeah, and I said,
now.
Of it.
That's what I do. And then I get on, I get my stuff done and then crack on and probably never work for that production company again.
You say never work. You've been working for years, Vass, and you've done buckets of... What's your favourite film, TV
do you know,
you've
they're
ever
all,
done?
They're all... Up to this day now, people still stop me and say, "You're the shadow, the damn elusive shadow, Only Fools and Horses, The Longest Night," where I hold up Del Boy and Rodney and Uncle in the manager's office because it saves on a time lock. Up to this day now, people still stop me. We just love this industry. I mean, it's a little bit different from when I started, I should imagine, but my children are getting into it now as well.
Amazing.
But yeah, but you know, I mean, I just go for it and do what I've got to do, you know what I mean? Some actors, they take it really, really seriously in the sense of...
Or they take themselves seriously.
No, no, not necessarily. They take the work seriously. Now, I take my work very, very seriously, but I believe that it's... I found that you reinvent yourself as in according to your life. Because when I first started acting, I didn't have three children.
Sure.
And now I have three children, and my eldest daughter, she's a film director, film editor. I look at life differently. But I'm a different. I can play different characters. There's more to me, as it were, than when I was younger. So you know, it's a wonderful business to be in. I'll be in it till the day I die. It's a beautiful profession, you know.
So you also do walking tours. I've just seen here.
Yeah, I do the London gangster tour about Ronnie and Reggie Cray. Yeah, do a little bit of that. And that's actually Stephen Marcus, who played Nick the Greek in Lockstock.
Okay,
it's his little gig. And he went away to LA to do a film, and he took me out for dinner a few times and didn't say nothing. And then on the third time, I was trying to, what's he buying this food for? And then the third time, he said, "Vass, look, I've got this little thing, man. I don't don't want to lose it. Can you crack on and do it? And I said, no, Steve. And he said, please, Vass, I bought you three other dinners and everything like that. It totals up to whatever. At least you've got to pay me back the money that you owe me by doing the toss. It's all right, Steve. And that was it.
Okay.
End of.
Okay. Let's do Man United first then.
Yes,
Matt, you're a United fan. Do you think Solskjaer will be there at the end of the season? And I'm going to ask you a similar question in a second, Vass.
Yes, I do believe Solskjaer will be there at the end of the season. I think it's become too, you know, we had such a grace with Sir Alex for so long, you know, and a consistency, and now we've become, which I hate, we've become one of those teams that just, you know, we've got a manager, doesn't go well, sack a manager, get another manager, and I hate that. And I've seen, you know, Chelsea over the years have done it, and I think Chelsea are going to thrive under Lampard because I think Frank is an amazing manager. But I think we will do well under Solskjaer. I'm not 100% convinced. I do believe it's going to be tricky. Obviously, when Pogba comes back now, sort of Christmas time, how is he going to fit in? Because I think Fred's come along so well in the last few weeks, and Scott McTominay like been amazing. But yeah, I just think there's a. I personally feel there's a gap in the midfield from defence. I think we're quite solid. Well, we're getting more solid, and with De Gea and goal is obviously amazing. I think our front three are electric. They're so quick, and that counter attacking football that Solskjaer's looking to play is great. But I just think that midfield we're just lacking with a couple of players.
It is interesting because as you say, that front three gives United, I think, a good chance of finishing top four. I think they by the end of the season they'll be up to the challenge 100% with the others. But there was a bit in the paper saying United weighing up a move for Jadon Sancho, and you think, I hope that's not true.
Yeah,
because that's not what they need.
No.
And if you look at the difference between Liverpool and United, the way they buy, Liverpool have been linked with Fraser.
Yes.
And he's a classic money ball buy.
Yeah.
You know, he's good value. And his assists are high, stats are good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Sancho is a good player, but not what United need. It's like collecting another.
Yeah, another piece of a puzzle that you've already got.
They need to lose that way of buying players.
Yeah, I think we do. I do think we need a strong like centre forward who can hold up the ball.
Like Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, tell me about it. But it, like, if I personally think, I mean, if we can, I'd love to see Zlatan back for a little bit. Just someone who can play a little bit, but I would love to see Zlatan back.
Oh, I'm so bored of him.
Oh, he's now about 58. We'll talk to Andy Bressel about this. We've got clubs in Italy queuing.
I know, it's unbelievable. Oh, yeah, he's got a massive queue for him to come back.
Like, he's
very quickly, Vass, Emery, will he be there at the end of the year?
Yeah, of course he will. Yeah. He's going to do a Wenger. He'll be there when I'm drawing my pension. No. He'll be there for the next however long he wants to be there for.
Probably
be there for as long as. Yeah, I just think that, you know, we do get passionate about it very much, Arsenal and everything, but the decisions are made a lot more higher up, you know. And I think it's good PR, but then at the end of the day, I think they'll keep it as it is because he was very passionate from the beginning, you know. And I think they're still there. And you win, you lose. I mean, look at Man United. I mean, under Solskjaer, I think they're a load of rubbish.
I think
but they'll get better.
Yeah, they might, or they might not.
They'll get
social media haven't done Unai Emery any favours with that.
No, they haven't.
Good evening, that one. That stuff.
And he's really good.
He's got a good track record.
Yeah.
He didn't win the league with PSG. That's impossible.
But Alden, would you tell him that to his face?
No, I'd totally
you'd get a drink off him. You'd get a drink off him and then you'd tell him it, wouldn't
it? Robert says, I knew I recognised that voice. I couldn't pinpoint it until he says, I am the Shadow. Jonesy says, got to be honest, as soon as I heard his voice, I instantly thought, Shadow.
That's
one of the best ever.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. Max Rushton in for Paul today. Now, you probably have seen the greatest bit of football from the weekend, which is the Nuneaton Borough goalkeeper, Tony Breeden, stepping up to take a penalty in the 60th minute.
He looked confident.
He did. He had to wait a long time to take it. They're taking Stratford. It's 0-0, and he bangs it. He hits it as hard as Kevin Pressman hit that penalty against Wolves in that shootout. But Kevin Pressman...
I think it was the rising drive, I think you described.
It really was. And it took out a light, a sort of big oblong fluorescent tube in the away end, or the home end, I think it was. Anyway, let's talk to the owner, chairman and manager of Nuneaton, Jimmy Ginnelly. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Now, as you're the owner, chairman and manager, are you so busy that you'd forgotten to pick a designated penalty taker and your goalkeeper wandered up and you were confused? Or did you know this was going to happen?
No, Tony's took penalties before and it was just such a... The centre forward was injured and we got the penalty. And the one thing we hadn't discussed was who would take the penalty with Luke Bembo not being on the pitch. And I always remember Tony taking them for his ex-club, Leamington. And he looked over with a smile on his face and nobody actually went to grab the ball and put it on the spot. So we just laughed and said, go on, take it, mate. And he went up there and boy, did he take it.
He really did. In a way now, are you happier that he missed and took out a light fitting? I mean, it's a tremendous bit of footage, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Over 3 million hits. It's
really?
It couldn't have gone any better, could it, for the publicity? I mean, and even Gary Dawes' guy, the guy that's got that little bit of sponsorship, he couldn't thank me enough. You know, he was ringing me and he was actually there at the game saying, wow, this is unbelievable, Jimmy. Thanks for this. I didn't realise we were going to get this for a few quid. But no, the guy, the electrician, he's had to go in this morning and fix it and put it up with a chain so it never happens again. But it was just so good, so funny. Thank God we won 2-0, because if we hadn't, it would probably have been getting a fine.
That's true. What sort of light was it? Part of the stadium that lights the terrace, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's like the big long strip light. So it's all boxed in, but it was great when it hit it and it come down. And, you know, it nearly it's all the young supporters who congregate in that stand. It was just so funny, so lovely to watch. And certainly, so we've had a few hard times in Edinburgh, so this has really helped put us back on the map a little bit of fun for once.
How was the dressing room afterwards? Or, I mean, he had half an hour left of the game. How was the rest of the game in the dressing room for him?
Well, as you can imagine, we got another penalty, didn't we? So it was a case of everybody's looking at me. Do I allow him to take it? And obviously not. And the little winger, Callum Powell, steps up and he took it and hopefully, thankfully, tucked it away. So, yeah, he got a bit of stick and he got a bit of stick off the supporters in the bar afterwards. It was non-stop. He kept going, I think, till midnight, that everyone was sort of like still texting him and Twittering him, saying, like, wow, you've gone famous, Tony. But, no, it was lovely. It was lovely.
I presume the second penalty taker didn't go for power. He went for placement.
Placement, straight down the middle, sat him down, yeah.
Well, he didn't go for a power socket, did he? That would have been... have you fined Tony? Has he got to pay for the light?
Well, that's we'll see what the bill is today when the electrician's finished it off and puts the bill in, and we might put it on the table for him again for a laugh and see if he wants to pay his way.
And how are Nuneaton getting on? How are you doing?
What sort of season are you having?
Yeah, you've had a bit of a troubled time. How are things?
Yeah, we're a lot better. I inherited the club. I obviously didn't want to be the chairman, manager, stroke owner. I got Ed Hunter to be the manager. But when I got there, the chairman was sort of like not running it quite right and he was struggling to find the finances and he walked away, which left the club. I think he was going to close the doors. So, you know, being a local guy with a lot of contacts, I decided to take it on with sort of like 7 or 8 of the other lads. I don't want to say figures, but we paid near on £250,000 off in debt in the last 12 months. So we've done fantastic and we got relegated last year. Now we're in the playoff positions and And we seem to have a team that might be able to compete and get into the playoffs.
And this is what, a 24/7 job? I mean, those are three quite big jobs, aren't they, for a football club?
They are, but it's not just me. I'm helped by sort of like seven or eight other guys. You know, okay, I'll put my name to it, but there is a consortium of us that were there regular. Yeah, I'm there sort of like 24/7 and giving it a best shot. But I've certainly got some serious backup from, you know, Adam A. Stuart Elliott, Dave Parnell, Keith Davis. If they want the names to be out there, you know, I'm not on my own.
And you've got a big game tomorrow night against Coventry City.
Yeah, it's lovely. Again, because of the way we're sort of like rebirthing the club. You know, small things like we've got a boardroom that holds 120. Birmingham Senior Cup, you'd normally get 200 there, but we've sold the boardroom out because it's Coventry. You know, we've invited Kirk Stevens, Trevor Peake, Dave Bennett, you know, Paul Corpin, ex-Coventry. They're all friends of mine anyway, so they're all in. So everything about the club's going in the right direction at the minute. The community's certainly come together and we've got some great support back now.
Well, listen, Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. You know, it's a brilliant story and it's great that you've turned a woeful penalty into a real positive.
Yeah, keep you on the next game because I think I'm going to let Tony take the next penalty. And
please do.
Okay.
Top man, Jimmy Ginnelly there. An unbeaten owner, chairman and manager. I've just tweeted it out. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching, isn't it?
Because we've had 3 million views, so presumably most people have seen it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's incredible.
Oh, I really hope he gets to take the next one as well. And there's
it wasn't the worst penalty you've ever seen. The result.
What are the positives out of that penalty?
Well, I thought he drove it well.
Oh, he did connect.
He connected well, and if he just kept it a bit low, it would have taken the roof of the net off. So
it would. Know. Yeah. Anyway, much better that it didn't. And no, knocked the light out.
We wouldn't really have got him on and said, "Hello, you've scored a pen on the weekend. Thanks very much." Yes, we did. Okay. Bye.
It was great. It was great for Tony to do that for 10 minutes of airtime for us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Gavs is listening to Motti and his explanation of the draw. I haven't been so confused since I watched Twin Peaks. I actually thought Motti
did. That's really unfair.
That's unfair, Gab. Motti made it, explained it perfectly.
Yeah, I knew. I know more about it now than I did before we started.
It's good to be informed. That's what you want, isn't it, in life? This is Talk Sport, everybody. Hawksby and Jacobs, Max in for Paul today. It's the time in the show when I can sit. Coming up just before four, by the way, a Don't Ask Me special from the last time you and I were on air together, October the 3rd.
Yeah, I'm looking
this
forward
year.
To it.
So, yeah, so 5 questions from October the 3rd. Cast your mind back. Where were you on October the 3rd? Were you at Giraffe, ZZ's, Pizza Hut? Which one? You'll know exactly where. What have you got, Andy?
Well, talking of that, a lot of people wondered who was the advisor who told Prince Andrew to do this sort of ill-advised interview. And it was his personal assistant, I think, Amanda Thirsk.
Right.
So I decided he should distance himself from her by racing from Thirsk.
Oh, thank you. Very, very good.
Thank you very much.
Do you want, I've got some vignettes as well. Do you want to know about rats learning to drive?
John says no, but I say yes.
No, you said no. You rejected one of my bits, which was about a museum.
That museum, yes. We can't talk about that.
We can't
talk
about that museum. It's for a part of the body that neither Andy or I have. Anyway, rats are famous for their cunning, apparently. And now, to add to their skills, they've learnt to drive. A team at the University of Richmond in Virginia constructed a rat-operated vehicle, ROV, from a plastic jar mounted on wheels with an aluminium plate across the floor and 3 copper steering bars across the windscreen. To drive the car, the rodents were taught, using a system of rewards, to sit on the plate and touch the copper wire, so completing the circuit, propelling the car forwards. Good, isn't it? 2 sets of rats were involved in the research
for the next 10 minutes. We
anyway, one of the rats was housed in an enriched environment with toys and exercise facilities, the other in a normal lab cage. The enriched rats learnt to drive far more quickly than the rest, indicating that stimulation in early life is beneficial to rodents as it is to humans.
There you go, really.
is that your only comment? There you go, really. Anyway, they only get worse, my vignettes, from here.
I was only interested in the first sort of 30 seconds of that. Okay. After that was far too much detail. why do people keep writing in letters like this? This is from the. This is Danny Cooper in Essex, who wrote to the Sun today.
Oh, hello, Danny.
The new breed of prima donna footballers really disappoints me. At the Rugby World Cup, every player sang their heart out for their national anthem, didn't fake injuries, and had total respect for the referee. Half of England's soccer team don't know the anthem or can't be bothered. Not true at all. I think they all sang it yesterday. And I've decided, along with a lot of other people, I've arranged for Danny's TV to be confiscated next summer so he won't be able to watch the European Championships.
I couldn't agree more. Why do you care so much?
Oh, but stop comparing it.
Yeah, here we go, Andy. Mm. And this is good for you.
Yes.
A South Korean mortuary is offering people the chance to experience their own living funerals.
Really?
The Haewon Healing Center invites members of the public to dress in shrouds, write their last testaments, and lie in closed coffins for around 10 minutes. More than 25,000 people have made use of the free service. According to the center's head, Jong Yong-mun, the aim is to help them appreciate
John, is
their
his
lives.
First name?
J-E-O-N-G.
Not like J-O-H-N.
Yeah, it's not John. aim to help people appreciate their lives and reconnect with estranged friends and relatives before it's too late.
Oh,
we don't have forever. So I think this service is so important. We can apologise and reconcile sooner, live the rest of our lives happily. Would you like me to...
Thank you. I'll keep that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll frame it. Now, next time you go to Australia, you
yes.
should think about going via ocean hitchhiking.
Okay.
Rather than sort of... terrible carbon footprint that you did.
Oh, what? I have to hitchhike all the way there?
Well, Greta Thunberg.
Oh, okay. Can I, Greta? Yes.
Yeah, she's inspired a rise in ocean hitchhiking
okay.
because basically she couldn't get back from America and she managed to sort of hitch a ride with an Australian family who are sailing across the Atlantic, back across the Atlantic. And so people other people have thought this is a good idea. But I was thinking... I'm not sure I'd like to be spend weeks on a boat with Greta lecturing me on how I've ruined the planet.
No, but I said, you know, a boat's passing past Dover, and I say, are you going to Melbourne? It's like, we're going as far as the Suez Canal. There's no guarantees I'm going to get any further.
Yeah, that could be.
I am slightly guilty about my carbon footprint, but, you know.
Well, never. Don't feel too guilty about it.
Okay.
And this was an odd one as well, that Grimsby manager Michael Jolly, or now former Grimsby manager, has been fired, presumably because of results. But it says here, after a rant at the local radio...
oh, great.
They'd lost five and drawn two of their previous seven games, but in a four-minute clip leaked on social media, Jolly uses the F-word more than 50 times and attacks the coverage of the club on BBC Humberside. You're a disgrace, Jolly says to one reporter. Every time you interview me, you're antagonistic and confrontational. Who do you think you are? Jeremy Paxman. Which is a good one, isn't it? You're a disgrace of a journalist. I'm leaving out all the swearing.
Oh, that's a shame.
This radio station gives us no positive coverage whatsoever. And you do wonder, I suppose it's the nature of the job being a footballer, because Pep has a go at the media and all this, but it does seem... slightly pointless thing to do to take them on. I mean, you can't really win, can you?
Netflix has outraged many film directors by trialling a feature that will enable time-poor viewers to speed up film and TV shows.
You can watch The Crown, 10 hours of it, in 7 hours.
You can speed watch. An hour-long show could be seen in 40 minutes.
What's the point? My son does this. He said to me, oh, yeah, I listen to your book. I love your podcast, Dad. But he said, I listen to it on... double speed.
We're talking to Barry Glendening next, aren't we, about the Ireland game. And actually, people sometimes listen to our pod on 1.5 and it says,
really?
Everyone sounds like a gerbil and Barry sounds normal speed.
Yes. I can't see that, you know, all right, so you listen to it at 1.5 times the speed. You save half an hour perhaps. And then what do you do with that half an hour? You start scrolling through Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah,
It's absolutely, why don't you just enjoy it? You know, right. Just enjoy it at the right speed. I don't get it myself.
Here's a story in the iPaper today. Fewer people are getting on with their neighbours, research suggests. A study by the Co-op and Neighbourhood Watch indicates that only one in five UK homeowners and renters said they get along with their neighbours more now than they did 5 years ago. Last year, almost a third said they did. Now it's only a fifth.
Well, that's a drop. Are you neighbourly?
I am quite neighbourly, although I have some good friends in flat two and they've moved to Bristol. The new flat two, I'm not so...
At least you didn't say their name. Normally people do that, they assume you know... Oh, Jean and Bill, they've moved to Bristol. Like you know
Louis and Jen from flat two.
Yeah.
I wondered, Andy, how good are you? Are you a good neighbour?
Pretty decent. Yeah, I'm trying.
Maybe you're not noisy, but are you friendly?
Friendly, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not as friendly as my wife. She's very friendly.
Is she? But you know, when people do you like go around with a you know you know, I've baked a lasagna. Would you like some?
No.
Do you know the name? Do you know the names of your neighbours?
Yes.
You do?
I do, but I'm not going to read them out on air.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't be very interesting. That's ever stopped me before.
I'm amazed. I thought you'd
talking of neighbours, though, you bumped into our old friend, Alan Fletcher.
Yes, I did, yes.
And he was on with you for about an hour, wasn't
he? He was, yes.
Yes.
When I did Extra Time, live from Melbourne. He did his Neighbours 1 to 11.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I wanted Lou and Harold in a two, in a sort of double pivot. Because you need, you know, against when you're coming up against the big guns, you're playing home and away. That is, you know, it's a tough place to go, isn't it? Summer Bay.
I did like your best ever England team amalgam of after 1,000 games. And it basically had one defender in it.
I've got it somewhere.
It was Tony Adams, I think.
I had Tony Adams behind David Seaman. And then I think I had Gascoigne.
You had a Scholes, very attacking. Oh,
Gascoigne,
yeah.
Scholes, Waddle, Barnes, Sheringham behind Shearer and Kane with Owen up top. Something like that.
Very attacking team.
I don't know. I just got.
I
a
did
bit...
say to you, still defensively more solid than Gareth's.
Yeah, possibly. I sometimes just get a bit tired when everyone does the same thing. It's a bit like whenever there's a big game, right? So Liverpool play City, and then everybody does their combined Liverpool City 11, yeah. and I got really bored of that. So no, I did the current Burnley and Charlton Athletic from 2003-04 combined 11. And it got a lot of, honestly, people were furious that I hadn't put Richard Rufus in, you know. How can you leave out Klaus Jensen? What's Dwight McNeil done? It was quite fun. Have you run out? You got another thing?
No. I did enjoy this fact of the day on Friday, which I didn't do it on that day, but I'll do it today. It was 8 years since Fenton the dog broke the internet by chasing deer. How can that be an anniversary of the day? Do people sort of think, oh, yes, I remember that day.
I remember where I was. Yeah, Fenton. It was a good clip, though.
Oh, yes, it is.
How about this one?
Probably still on there, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. A Japanese man has turned his nail clippings into an engagement ring. You clip your nails in the lift here, don't you? So you could have done this. Kiwami Kuba collected a year's worth of clippings before grinding them into a powder, yeah. Adding water, compressing and then baking them. He set them in a silver ring. The recipient of his romantic gesture is unknown and presumably disappointed.
I don't clip my nails in the lift. It's what it is I have my tweezers.
Oh, do you clip your nose hair?
Well, because the mirrors, there's something about the light in the mirror in the lift. It's all right if you're on your own. What is the difference?
It's not all right. Where do you drop the hair?
Well,
do you keep it?
Yes,
you have a little bag of
collect
your nose.
I've turned them into an engagement ring.
This is what Kiwami had previously created, a knife made out of potatoes.
So, you know, well,
that's what it says. I don't know where this nonsense comes from. I do not think it is appropriate, Andy,
yes.
In an office full of many people,
yes.
To pull your nasal hair.
I don't pull my... Not the inner ones.
Any hair that is growing out of your nose and drop it on the floor of the lift.
First of all... They're tiny, so you wouldn't really see them. Unless,
okay.
Unless I'm in there for 6 months and I open the lift door.
It's like that, it's that film with Tom Hanks, The Terminal. You start living here, you get in the lift and Andy's just asleep in the corner, just pulling out extraneous hair. Do you do your ears as well?
Why not?
Why not? It's utterly disgusting.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Don't ask me to
leave it out. So, yeah, we ran out of time. To do Don't Ask Me on the show because we talked too long to a man about Eddie Howe. And so here we are, Andy, the 3rd of October.
I hope he's not listening in.
The 3rd of October 2019.
Yeah.
Here are some questions from that show. We did it together. What a great time we had.
Yeah.
Question one, 50-50 you've got on this.
Yeah.
Did we talk to the moose on the show?
Yes.
Yes, we did. 1 point. Good. Well done. Question two. We had quite a high-profile cricketer on to promote the 100. Who was it?
Owen Morgan.
Correct.
Slimey.
Question three. We had quite a high-profile former rugby player on to promote the five-a-side rugby at the O2. Who was it?
Was it Lawrence Delalio?
It was. 3 out of 3. Point four. Question four. We spoke to Bart Vielstra, Dutch football expert, before Manchester United's trip to AZ Alkmaar. What was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer worried about before the game? We did a text topic on it.
Oh, I think he was worried about the pitch.
He was. The quality of the pitch, 4 out of 4.
I know. This is a miracle.
Question five. We interviewed the Coventry City striker, Matt Godden. What's he training to become?
Postman.
Mortgage advisor.
Oh,
look at that.
Unlucky, Andy.
You actually don't train to be a postman, do you? I mean,
I was training well to be a postman. You know, Double Potch does double sessions for postmen, doesn't he?
Okay.
There we are. Well, anyway, well done, Andy. 4 out of 5. It's the best you've ever done
it's
with
the best
me.
I've done for some while.
Yeah, well done. Anyway, Paul back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.